You're listening to Back in the USSR.
Да здравствует 60-я годовщина Великой Октябрьской социалистической революции. Да здравствует героический советский народ и его доблестные вооруженные силы. Слава Коммунистической партии Советского Союза, руководящей и направляющей силе советского общества. Ура!
This is for Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine. While we listen to tunes made by ignorant fools, Israel blocked the UN from delivering food. They bring in the troops and you won't even glimpse of the news. They make money off the products that we're quick to consume. And it's not simply a question of differing views. Forget emotions, this is facts, what I spit is the truth. Makes no difference if you're a Christian or if you're a Jew. They're just people living in different conditions to you. They still die when you bomb their schools, mosques and hospitals. It's not because of rockets, please God, can you stop this all? I'm not related to the strangers on the TV, but I relate, cause those strangers could have been me. Words could never ever explain the raw tragedy. It's not a war that is murdering more rapidly, and we are automatically supporting pure savagery. Imagine how you feel if this was your family. Sing it with me now. Free, free Palestine. Palestine remains in my heart forever. We stand for peace, times of war, we shan't surrender. Remember, it didn't start in this dark December. Every coin is a bullet if you're Marks and Spencer. And when you're sipping Coca-Cola, that's another pistol in the holster of them soulless soldiers. You say you know about the Zionist lobby, but you put money in their pocket when you're buying their coffee. Talking about revolution, sitting in Starbucks. The fact is, that's the type of thinking I can't trust, let alone even start to respect. Before you talk, learn the meaning of that scarf on your neck. Forget Nestle, Obama promised Israel 30 billion over the next decade. They're trigger happy and they're crazy. Think about that when you're putting Huggies nappies on your baby. Just a war over stolen land. Why do you think little boys are throwing stones at tanks? And we'll never really know how many people are dead. They drop bombs on innocent girls while they sleep in their bed. Don't get offended by facts, just try and listen. Nothing is more anti-Semitic than Zionism. So please don't bring bad vibes when you speak to me. There's plenty of rabbis that agree with me. It's your choice what you do with this message. Don't get it confused, I view this from a human perspective. How many more resolutions have to be violated? How many more children have to be annihilated? Israel is a terror state, they're terrorists that terrorize. I testify, my television televise, I'm telling lies. This is not a war, it is systematic genocide. But whatever they try, Palestine will never die. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza.
Welcome to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. I am Siegfried, and tonight on the last show of 2017, I'm going to pick up where I left off last week talking about the Palestinian people and their struggle for liberation against the apartheid state of Israel and its U.S. ally. And of course, we started off the show with Loki with Long Live Palestine, song Long Live Palestine. Last week, I talked about the recent decision the recent decision by the Trump administration to move the U.S. embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in violation of international law and the aspirations of the Palestinian people for a viable independent state with East Jerusalem as its capital. I also talked about how this action, which was overwhelmingly condemned at the United Nations, was not in defiance of, but actually was the logical conclusion of the so-called peace process started with the Oslo Accords in 1993, which, far from granting a viable independent state for Palestinians or guaranteeing refugees the right of return to land stolen by Israel, in fact reduced the Palestinian people to living in a permanent state of siege. A permanent state of siege hemmed in by expanding Israeli settlements, subject to constant aggression by Israeli security forces, and dominated by a Palestinian authority that actively collaborates with the Israeli government in its oppression of the Palestinian people. I quoted from Greg Shupak's excellent article, The Jerusalem Gambit, from Jacobin magazine, in which he details how these things are connected in what is a decidedly colonial situation as Israel illegally grabs more and more Palestinian land with the aid of the United States, you know, the supposedly honest broker in the peace talks that offer nothing but betrayal to the Palestinians who have fought an anti-colonial struggle since 1947. And since U.S. President Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel on December 6th, 610 Palestinians have been arrested for resisting the occupation, including 170 children and 12 women. That's what the Palestinian Prisoner Society reported on December 27th, so even these figures are out of date as of now because we're on the 30th today. And according to Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem, at least 6,831 Palestinians are already being held in Israeli custody, including 331 kids. And the latest arrests bring the total number of Palestinian prisoners to 7,441. In addition, 12 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces since December 6th. And many thousands have been wounded from rubber bullets, tear gas, and the many other weapons in the IDF's arsenal. But if there's one case that has truly stood out and captured headlines recently, it's the case of a 16-year-old Palestinian girl, Ahed Tamimi, who was arrested and is currently being held without charges by Israeli authorities. And I'd like to read an Al Jazeera article on this case from December 26th in full, because I believe it shows quite well the kind of reality Palestinians in the occupied territories are living in today. So I'm going to read that right now. So, Bethlehem, occupied West Bank. On a day when millions of people around the world spent time with their families, laughing and exchanging gifts, Bassem Tamimi sat for hours in an Israeli court anticipating the fate of his daughter, wife, and niece. For the second time in less than a week, the Tamimi woman's detentions were extended for another 4 days as the police prosecution continues an investigation into a case that has attracted worldwide attention. Bassem told Al Jazeera that the court sessions held in Israel's Ofer Detention Center in Ramallah went on for more than 6 hours on Monday. Ahad looked so tired, he said, referring to his jailed 16-year-old daughter, and expressed worry concerning her treatment in Israeli jail. Three Israeli officials stood in front of Bassem the entire court proceeding, blocking his view of Ahed. I wasn't even allowed to see her, he said. Bassem attempted to speak to his daughter, eager to hear her familiar voice that could assure him that she was continuing with the strength the teenager is famous for. However, any time I tried to speak to her, he said, the Israeli officers would tell me to shut up and would threaten to kick me out of the court, he explained. They just want to show us that Israel controls everything. Ahed was detained by Israeli forces on Tuesday following a raid on the family's home in the village of Nabi Saleh in the occupied West Bank during the pre-dawn hours. Hours later, his wife Nariman traveled to the Binyamin Detention Center, where Ahed was being held, to check on her condition and insist on being present while her daughter was being interrogated. She, too, was arrested upon arrival. Israeli authorities were accusing Nariman of incitement for filming a video showing Ahed slapping and kicking two Israeli soldiers, outside her home. Ahed's 21-year-old cousin Noor, who studies Jerusalem at Al-Quds University, was also arrested during a raid on her home the following morning. An Israeli army spokesperson previously told Al Jazeera that Ahed was suspected of, quote, assaulting a soldier and an IDF officer. The video went viral and spurred an Israeli social media campaign demanding the arrest of the teen, who has been an icon for the village's long-standing resistance since she was 13. Noor also appeared in the video. Following the arrest, Israeli authorities summoned Bassem for interrogations and questioned him for 2 hours about the video. According to Bassem, Ahed and Noor were attempting to push the soldiers away from their home in the video after their 15-year-old cousin Mohammed was struck point blank in the face with a rubber bullet, which left him in a coma for 72 hours. The Tamimi women have not yet officially been charged with a crime. According to Gabby Lasky, Ahed's lawyer, the women are also being investigated for other incidents unrelated to the recent video. Lasky said the teen is being held in the first section of Israel's Hasharon prison, which holds child security prisoners. Nariman and Noor are being held together in Hasharon in the third section designated for Palestinian women prisoners. Ahed has not been provided with a change of clothes since she was detained almost a week ago. Since her detention, Ahed has been transferred from between several prisons in Israel. According to Lasky, such Israeli policies are meant to, quote, break your spirit. Palestinian detainees are typically handcuffed and have their feet shackled during prison transfers. The trip between prisons is often uncomfortable and can result in serious physical and emotional exhaustion. These prison transfers occur despite being in a violation of international law, which prohibits the transfer of Palestinians from the occupied territory to Israeli territory. Nevertheless, 60% of Palestinian child detainees are transferred into Israel from the occupied territory, according to prisoners' rights group Al-Damir. Al-Damir has reported that many Palestinian children are interrogated while sleep-deprived and often bruised and scared, and called the process coercive. According to the group, Palestinian children are often shown or made to sign documentation written in Hebrew, which despite most Palestinians in the occupied territory not understanding the language. Defense for Children International, Palestine, noted in a new report that out of 520 cases of Palestinian children being detained by Israel between 2012 and 2016, 72% faced physical violence and 66% experienced verbal abuse and humiliation. Noor's father, Naji, told Al Jazeera that the threats his family has received from Israelis have left him anxious and concerned about Noor's safety in prison. According to Naji, Israelis have demanded that the Tamimi women be held in the darkest cell of Israel's prisons and have expressed their hope that the women get raped. What if some right-wing Israeli is working in the prison and they actually follow through with these threats? He said. In the early morning hours on Monday, as the Tamimi families were resting before another long day at an Israeli court, Israeli forces crept into the village once again and raided Naji's home. Manal Tamimi, a relative of the women, told Al Jazeera that Israeli forces broke into Naji's home and ransacked the place before raiding two more homes in the village. Izzaldin and Mudassim Tamimi, both 20 years old, were detained during the raid. Both had previously spent time in Israeli prison, between 5 to 8 months, according to Manal. Neither of the youths was involved in the case that Ahed, Nariman, and Noor were being held for. Manal said that for the past 2 weeks, Israeli forces stationed at the checkpoint positioned at the entrance to Nabi Saleh have been stopping the young residents of the village and interrogating them for hours. This has nothing to do with anyone breaking the law. This is just harassment and collective punishment on the village, she said. Bassam agrees, telling Al Jazeera that the Tamimi women's court proceedings are a form of Israeli propaganda. Israel wants to show the world that they have a trial, a court, a legal system. They want people to believe that they have laws and democracy, Bassam said. Bassam said that the village did not see Israel's courts as legitimate. It's all fake. The courts are just another component of the occupation. There's no difference between this court and an Israeli settlement, he told Al Jazeera. They are targeting us because we are Palestinian. We resist Israeli occupation and its colonization of Palestinian lands. They want to break Nabi Saleh. And that's the article. Now, the Real News Network interviewed Ahed Tamimi's father earlier this week, a man who has long been active in the Palestinian liberation struggle. And this is what he had to say. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
It's the Real News. I'm Aaron Mate. Last week, 16-year-old Ahed Tamimi was arrested by Israeli forces at her home in the occupied West Bank, joining hundreds of Palestinian children arrested by Israeli forces each year. Ahed was seized just days after a video went viral of her confronting an Israeli soldier. Just minutes earlier, Israeli forces had shot Ahed's 14-year-old cousin at close range in the face, leaving him in a coma. On Monday, an Israeli court ordered Ahed, her cousin, and her mother, who was arrested when she came to visit Ahed, to remain behind bars for at least 4 more days. Bassam Tamimi is Ahed's father and a longtime Palestinian activist. He joins me now. Welcome, Bassem. For those who aren't familiar with your daughter's story, can you explain to us what happened last week when she was arrested?
Thank you. Forgive me the opportunity to call the voice of Palestine to our friends and our people there. And I highly appreciated that. Last week, after the video that you talk about, around 3-4 morning, 19 of the December, we wake up between 3-4 morning, knocked on the door, sunny grenade, tear gas, soldier shouting, and I opened the door. They was very angry and nervous soldiers and the border police. They entered the home and they told me to bring all the family in the living room. Ask them to come. I wake them up, the children. Then they told me that Ahd is and they come to arrest Ahd. Hello, you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Hello. I asked them, I had to change her clothes to wear something warm. They don't allow her mother to go with her to the room. They took her by two female soldiers, and she took, she wear her clothes, and they took her back outside. In the first 3-4 minutes, Ahd was handcuffed and outside the home. Then they started searching in the house, everything upside down. They took our computer, laptop, cameras, USB, any electronic devices, and then they took our phones. My son Muhammad, 14 years old, he refused to give them the phone. 6 soldiers was on him. By force, they took the phone, and after that, they in around 40 minutes, they go out. We follow. We found around 10, 11 Israeli military vessels, and we call for Ahd. We shout. She responded from one of these jeeps. And she said, yes, I am here, I am fine, I will keep silent, don't worry. Morning, my wife went to the police station, as they told us, to be with her in the investigation and with the lawyer. Then they stopped Nariman and put her in the investigation, and they took her to jail. The second day, the second night, they came and raided my cousin Naji, my brother Naji, and they took and they arrested her daughter, 20 years old, Noor, and they took her to the investigation. We asked for a court for to release them. They refused, and they detained them until last Monday. During these days, Ahd and Nariman and Noor was in the same jail, but in different section. Nariman and Noor in a small, dirty, without anything for life, cell, broken windows, and it's very cold. And they isolated in among a section in the section full of Israeli criminal female prisoners, not in the same room, but around them the rooms are for these criminal prisoners. They took Ahd to another jails for investigation. They put her in one, isolate her in one cell with controlled by and monitored by cameras all the time. Then they want to make her weak and to force her to speak. She refused to tell them her name because she don't accept the authority of these police officer and then in the investigation. And Ahad keep silent and challenge them in this way. We went to the court. They refused to give them a decision for release. And they give them another detained for another few days. Tomorrow it's the detained days. They postponed the court too. We will see what will happen. We don't trust this court because it's part of the component of the occupation. It comes to help the occupation to how to punish the Palestinian. It's not for justice, it's for injustice.
Bassem, so just to recap, because we're speaking to you by phone, so just in case anybody had a hard time hearing. So after they arrested your daughter, your 16-year-old daughter, then when your wife, Nariman, went to go visit her in jail, they arrested her. And they since raided and arrested her 21-year-old cousin, Noor. So before we get into more of what is happening now, can we just go back to that video that went viral across the world where your daughter is seen confronting Israeli soldiers who are in your village in the occupied West Bank? What was happening there?
What's happening there? It's if you see the soldier, they are just two soldiers, yes? Admit it's not common sense that two soldiers without, where is the other group of soldiers? Every group is five soldiers or six soldiers moving together. But why these two soldiers are coming alone? Firstly, all the clashes is around our home. All the time there are shooting. Before 2-3 days of this event, the soldier shot my son in his leg, and they injured him. The second day they shot him in his hand, and they broke his hand. Before the moment that Ahad, push the soldier out of our home. These two soldiers are coming from the place where our cousin Muhammad shot in his head, in his face, by a rubber bullet, and he is in a bad situation, and he was in coma.
This is Ahed's 14-year-old cousin, who just before that video of Ahed slapping the soldier in the face, he was shot in the face with a rubber-coated bullet.
Yes, a steel-coated bullet. This soldier, after that, we heard that he was shot, and the people said that he may be killed. I think this is the same soldier who shot him, because he was coming from the back of my home. He jumped from the wall, and he coming alone with the other soldiers, without their groups. He comes from the same place that this boy was shot. And we believe that this soldier, he is the same soldier who shot our cousin. And if you follow the video, you see that he is not a moral soldier or officer. He was shocked. If you see his response, because he is shocked, because he see the small child zero distance in front of him with his blood, and he come to hide and to shoot another people to hide in our home. And the other soldier was shooting tear gas, rubber bullet, and live ammunition to the other people. In this situation, what we all want us to do? to give rose for this soldier and make tea for them, to use our home to kill the people. It's yani, common sense. But yani, you know, the Israeli society is a sick society. They don't like their soldier to appear like this. To appear, they want their soldier to appear how they kill the children, how they shoot the people, how they yani, murdered the people, how their settler burned the people in their homes. This is the image that they like, and this image they don't like. For that, they want to punish Ahad. If this video show that their soldier is a moral and a polite and a very kind soldier, and this give them their image in the world become good, why they arrest Ahad? Why?
Bassem, speaking of the Israeli response, let me get you to respond to some of what we've heard from prominent Israelis about Ahed's arrest. The education minister of Israel, Naftali Bennett, said she should finish her life in prison. And yes. a prominent Israeli columnist, Ben Kaspit, he wrote in the newspaper Ma'ariv that, quote, in the case of the girls, we should exact a price at some other opportunity in the dark without witnesses and cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your reaction to hearing that? They're speaking about your
I don't know. And it's a normal reaction because they come from the mentality, the belief, the thought, the value of this society is this is the value. This is the same society who create and produce these satyrs who burn the Wabshi family in their home. This system is the same system, and this is the same regime that create and produce these soldiers and air force who shoot and kill children in Gaza. This is the normal issue that we heard from this sick people like Bennett or Ben Kispi or all of these people. And I don't know how which peace you can gain if you negotiate these people and this regime and this society, because if they respond to the small child like this, what they will do if we will cheat ourselves if we feel that we can gain anything from the negotiation of this government or this regime.
Bassem, finally, let me ask you, you're no stranger to protest. You've been organizing for years against the theft of Palestinian land in your village by Israeli settlers, and also of the local water resources by Israeli settlers. But I'm wondering, what was it like for you seeing your 16-year-old daughter standing there in an Israeli military court? What was that like for you?
It's hard. I can't talk with her. They surrounded her to make a wall between me and her, not to see her. The people in all, after the media take photo and they show the photos and the video, they saw the face of my daughter before me. It's not, I know that it's a very bad situation inside the prison. I know the situation there. I am worried. I am worried about what will happen with her in the hands of these terrorists, extremely terrorist people. I worry because my sister killed inside an Israeli military court like this court in 1993. I am worried about my family, my daughter, my cousin, my niece, my wife, everyone who come to this court. I all the time become يعني very angry, nervous, stressed because I told you my memory will يعني shine and wake up to the time they kill my sister and I inside the military court like this. I don't trust this court. I don't believe there is if there is any kind of justice under occupation, but I believe my daughter, my wife, and my niece and is very strong, and they can be safe by their self confidence and by their challenge in front of these extremely regime, and we believe that at the end we will continue struggle, but at the end the occupation will fail and we can't keep silent under occupation. Our duty and responsibility to resist, and Ahd is an example for her generation, and she will continue leading this generation and give them the example and the way to resist until we have our freedom and have our rights and have the opportunity to participate with all the freedom fighter in the world to build the civilization with peace, justice, and the freedom for everyone in this world.
And Bassem, if I can just tell you that, you know, it's that strength that you describe in your daughter and in the rest of your family that has inspired people all around the world. And so we thank you, and we thank you for joining us today. Bassem Tamimi.
Thank you.
Bassem Tamimi, the father of Ahed Tamimi. Ahed and her mother and cousin are still in Israeli military prison. Bassem Tamimi is a longtime Palestinian activist. Thank you, sir. And thank you for joining us on The Real News.
The monsters came just the other day.
back in the USSR. We'll be back after this short break.
You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM.
So this is love. You know I've never been so sad.
If you have a local business, event, or initiative that you would like to promote, CFRU can help you out. Free public service announcements are available to all not-for-profit events and organizations, while for-profits have the option to choose from an ad package that is competitively priced to give you the highest quality ad at the best deals available. A staff member will guide you through the entire process and ensure that you are pleased with the final result before it is put on air. If you are interested in having an ad or PSA run on our station, please contact outreach at cfru.ca for more information.
It is no surprise that one of CFRU's longest-running and most popular programs is Clan na Gael. We feature 2 hours of the best Celtic music from around the world and around the corner. Listen on Sundays after the BBC World News at noon. Tune in and get your fill of fiddles, whistles, banjos, mandolins, bowrons, harps, flutes, and wonderful voices. And of course, let's not forget everyone's favorite Celtic musical instrument, the bagpipes. Clan na Gael is the most bagpipe-friendly show on CFRU FM 93.3. Join me, John Fahey, on Sundays and start your own Celtic Kitchen Ceilidh.
If you or anyone close to you is experiencing distress, depression, substance issues, or any mental health challenges right now, please know that Connect's Ontario helplines are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, staffed by information and referral specialists who can help. The toll-free number is 1-866-531-2600. That's 1-866-531-2600. You can also chat online or email specialists via the website mentalhealthhelpline.ca. These services are available to those in distress as well as family and friends concerned about someone close to them. The toll-free number once more is 1-866-531-2600. This message is brought to you by Connects Ontario Helplines and CFRU 93.3 FM, Guelph's community radio station.
I know that you've heard all kinds of stories about me. That I am a racist. That I am a supporter of the KKK. That I am against civil rights. All because I oppose the Martin Luther King holiday. But I am opposed to the holiday. And I will stay opposed to it as long as I am in office. And as long as there are city officials that agree with me, there will be no holiday in this state.
This is the soldier. Public enemy, security of the first world, and all aligned forces are traveling west to head off a white supremacist team to destroy the national celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. Public enemy believes that the powers that be in the states of New Hampshire and Arizona have found psychological discomfort in paying tribute to a black man who tried to teach white people the meaning of civilization. Good luck, brothers. Show them what you got.
Jackets on the elephant, 20,000 Nicky Buffers in the corner. corner of the cell block, but they cover California. Population is none in a desert is sun, with a gun cracker running things under his thumb, staring hard at the postcard. Isn't it odd and unique seeing people smile while in a heat 120 degrees? Cause I wanna be free. What's a smiling face when the whole state's racist? Why I wanna hound they damn it? Cause I wanna. So if I celebrate it, standing on a corner, I ain't drinking no 40, drinking Tower to 9. Till we get some land, call me the trigger man. Looking for the governor, he ain't loving you hot. But hear the trouble, yeah, he's rubbing you wrong. Get the point and come along, he can get to the joint. I urinated on the state while I was kicking his song. Yeah, you better be fair, the sucker over there. You try to keep it yesteryear, the good old days. The same old ways that kept us dying. Hey, yes, you, me, myself, and I, indeed. What he need is a nosebleed, be between the lines. And think you see the lie, politically planned. And understand that's all she wrote. When we see the real side, to hide behind a vote. And they can't understand why he the man. I'm singing by the king, they don't like it when I decide to make it. Wait, I'm waiting for the day for the man who demands respect, cause he was great. Come on, I'm on a one mission to get a politician to honor, or he's a goner by the time I get to Arizona. Well, I got 25 days to do it. If a war in the way, just watch me go through it. Cause I gotta do what I gotta do. PE number one gets the job done. When it's done and over, that's because I drove her through all the static. I stick for automatic. That's the way it is. She got to get his talking MLK. Gonna find a way. Make this day. Hey, I'm looking for the day. Hard as it seems, this ain't no damn dream. Gotta know what I mean. This team against team, catch the light beam. So I pray every day I do every shot I make. Living for culture, I got my not here for Jamaica. Pushing and shaking the structure, bringing down a Babylon. Hearing the circle to make it hard for the brown. The hard full of blood, I need it now, more than ever now. Who's sitting on my freedom oppressor? People beater, a piece of the pick. We picked a piece of the land we're serving now. Reparation, a piece of the nation, damn, we got the nerve. Another nigga they say and classify, we want too much. My people plus the nine is mine, don't think I even double dust. Here's the brother, my attitude is here, I'm hanging high. I'm blowing up the 90s, started ticking in 86. When the blind get a mind, better start fearing while we singing now. There will be the day we know who's down and who will go, 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 go. By the time I get to Arizona, by the time I get to Arizona,
listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU, and that was Public Enemy with By the Time I Get to Arizona. And before that, before the break, we had Bic with Monsters, Devils, and Strangers, which is actually a group of Irish political prisoners in a British jail in the 1980s actually did that song. And of course, they in that song, they expressed solidarity with the South African liberation struggle, with the struggle against the anti-colonial struggle going on at that time in Nicaragua, where, of course, the Sandinistas were resisting American imperialism, and also solidarity, of course, with the Irish liberation struggle in Northern Ireland. So, and of course, as I talked about last week, the Irish liberation struggle and the Palestinian liberation struggle have had, like, close ties for many decades now, because they've understood that they face... Both of them face really a, both of them are fighting against a colonial enemy, fighting for liberation of their people. You know, and that was a very, very strong bond between different organizations such as the IRA and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and as well as like with the ANC and like other organizations fighting for liberation in South Africa in the 1980s. That was a very close bond between them. And you know, it's that is expressed like in the culture of those groups as well, like, you know, the kind of songs they would sing. Now, one of the things I talked about last week, and which I'll go into a little more detail this week, one of the tactics of a colonial power, doesn't matter if that's like the British in India or the British in Ireland or like the American settler colonial state on the American frontier in the 19th century and the 20th century, you know, inflicting genocide on indigenous people. The common denominator with imperialism is the ideological demonization of the colonized. You know, the colonial power always demonizes those it controls and exploits. And Israel is no exception to that. You know, it constantly demonizes the Palestinians. You know, demonizes them, you know, treats them as kind of less than human. People who need to be policed, people who need to be kept under control. People who are not civilized. You know, there's an entire language around that. And we talked, I played that clip that Abby Martin talked about last week when she talked about how the discourse around human shields was used in all of Israel's attacks on Gaza. You know, Israel trying to justify its mass murder of civilians through saying, you know, the Palestinian various Palestinian factions are using them as human shields. I mean, it's Israel doing the killing, and they never provide any proof that human shields are actually being used. And of course, the Israeli army actually has been documented using human shields itself. But this is the kind of language that they use to demonize the Palestinians, saying they, you know, they brought it on themselves. You know, and of course, we saw talked about how Israeli social media demonized Ahed Tamimi, the 16-year-old girl, effectively banged for her blood because she stood up to Israeli soldiers trying to invade her home and would not be intimidated. You know, right after they shot and put her 14-year-old relative into a coma. You know, right after that happened. And she was resisting these soldiers who had done these horrible things to her family and to her people. I mean, in recent years, we've also seen how high-profile Israeli government ministers have called for the outright genocide and expulsion of the Palestinian people. And we've even seen current Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu try to blame the Holocaust on Palestinians. You know, effectively absolving Hitler of this crime against humanity. He tried to blame Palestinians for that. And that was back in 2015 when Israel, of course, launched its last assault, most recent assault, I should say, on Gaza, and more than 1,000 Palestinian civilians, including hundreds of children, were killed. And the Israeli media and political establishment was bending over backwards trying to justify the atrocities they were committing on a daily basis. And this is what Max Blumenthal, you know, American journalist, Jewish-American journalist Max Blumenthal had to say about this horrendous propaganda from an interview he did with the Real News Network 2 years ago. So please stay tuned to Back in the USSR. I'm going to play that now.
Welcome to the Real News Network. I'm Sharmini Peres coming to you from Baltimore. In a speech Tuesday before the World Zionist Congress, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed the Holocaust was inspired by a Palestinian leader. Let's have a look.
And this attack and other attacks on the Jewish community in 1920 and 1921, 1929, were instigated by a call of the Mufti of Jerusalem, Haji Amin al-Husseini, who was later sought for war crimes in the Nuremberg trials because he had a central role in fomenting the final solution. He flew to Berlin. Hitler didn't want to exterminate the Jews at the time. He wanted to expel the Jews.
These remarks have drawn worldwide criticism, including a statement by Chancellor Angela Merkel. Her spokesperson, Stefan Siebert, said, "All Germans know the history of the murderous race mania of the Nazis that led to the break with civilization that was the Holocaust," adding that it must never be forgotten, in effect taking full responsibility for the genocidal attacks that killed over 6 million Jews. Netanyahu's comments come in the midst of daily violence carried out across Israel and Palestinian territories. These attacks has left dozens dead and over 1,000 injured. Joining us now to discuss this is Max Blumenthal. He's an award-winning journalist and best-selling author. His latest book is The 51-Day War, Resistance and Ruin in Gaza. Thank you for joining us, Max.
Thanks for having me.
Max, this is nothing new. Netanyahu has repeatedly made reference to the Holocaust and tried to affiliate and associate it with the Palestinians. Give us a sense of when he has done this at other times.
It's October, but for Netanyahu, it's springtime for Hitler. He has absolved Hitler of the final solution and displaced blame for the Holocaust onto Palestinians. And this is something that Netanyahu has done in the past. Netanyahu, in his 1993 book, A Durable Peace, portrayed the Mufti, Amin al-Husseini, as the architect of the final solution, falsely, citing dubious testimony from one of Eichmann's deputies, which was renounced by Eichmann himself. In 2012, Netanyahu painted the Mufti Husseini, the long dead Mufti, as the architect of the final solution in a speech before the Knesset. A year later, Netanyahu claimed that the Mufti was personally responsible for the killing of 4,000 Jewish children in the gas chambers in Auschwitz. There is no historical record to support any of these claims. And for the first time, we're seeing Netanyahu challenged. I reported on those previous fabrications by Netanyahu. The only source I could find for the second one in 2013 at Bar-Ilan University was a op-ed by Alan Dershowitz, Netanyahu's friend, who had himself fabricated this claim about 4,000 children being killed in Auschwitz because of personal orders by the Mufti. The Mufti, Husseini, was not responsible for the death of a single Jew in Europe during World War II. And even Bernard Lewis, the neoconservative historian who Netanyahu reveres, has said so, has joined the consensus of historians and Holocaust experts who believe this. Netanyahu has issued the same falsehood about Hitler having no intention to kill or exterminate European Jewry in November 1941, when the Mufti and Hitler met, as David Irving, the Holocaust revisionist, who I believe was jailed in Austria for the crime of Holocaust denial and who lost his libel suit against the Holocaust historian Deborah Lipstadt, partially because he said that in 1941, Hitler was quote unquote inactive. And this is what Netanyahu is saying in order to displace blame on the Palestinians. So Netanyahu is engaging in what can be termed as Holocaust denial, certainly Holocaust revisionism. And Irving, for his Holocaust revisionism, was arrested. Ernst Zundel, a Holocaust denier, was jailed in Austria, I believe. Netanyahu